Hello, welcome back to the newest podcast on health and safety issues in the workplace. My name is David Foy from HSE Network, and this podcast is sponsored by our partner, Abbott, an established provider of workplace toxicology and occupational health services. When we talk about creating safer and healthier workplaces, we often realise that a lot of employees are surprised when they learn that drug and alcohol testing is an important part of workplace safety. But this shouldn't be a surprise. Last year, just over 1 in 10 adults aged 16 to 59 reported taking drugs. And for those aged 16 to 24, it was 1 in 5. We also know the importance of supporting employees' mental health, with 1 in 4 people in the UK experiencing mental health problems each year. Today, we are going to look at the link between mental health and drug and alcohol use in the workplace. By making managers more aware of the problem and providing proactive support to employees, can we help to reduce the risk that drugs and alcohol pose to the workplace? To talk to us more about this today, we have Andy Stevens. Andy runs his own building and consultancy companies. He's a strong advocate for mental health, especially in the construction industry, and has presented a series interviewing people in the industry who have struggled with mental health. He has not just spoken of his own difficulties and how he overcame them, but also speaks at exhibitions, conferences on mental health in construction, and now advises companies and governments in America, Canada, and the UK, as well as chairing many panels on this topic. Cool, good stuff. Well, yeah, thanks for joining us, Andy. I think we're going to cover some really interesting stuff today. To start with, could you maybe give us a little bit of a background to yourself, a bit of your history in the construction industry, just for the benefit of the listeners?
Yeah, good morning, David. I started in construction at the ripe old age of 12 and became fascinated by it. My first job was labouring for a guy who built tree houses for kids camps. And obviously, you know, incredibly high-end joinery, absolutely loved it. And from there, I've been in it since. I'm 47 now. I had a few years out of it in the 90s, just trying to look at other avenues because trying to get a mortgage as a labourer was a bit tough back then. But I've been in it for a long time. I think we're in an absolutely brilliant industry. I've said this all the time. You know, I've gone from being a labourer to running my own construction company. It's won awards. I've been developing. And now the last 7-8 years, been working in the media. So you've got so many options to do different things. And I've always said it, I don't think you'll find kinder people in construction. What people do tends to go unheard, but there's some wonderful people that do an awful lot of good stuff for free.
Yeah, definitely. I know we were discussing yesterday about the sort of unsung heroes really in the industry. And you know, my dad, he works in construction. He's a site manager. And I know there's some great people on his site who he's always putting forward. So, yeah, today we're discussing mental health and construction and touching on drug and alcohol and the impact that can have. Why is mental health, I guess, really important to you, Andy?
Well, being honest, very open about it, I got diagnosed with complex PTSD, anxiety and depression about 6-ish years ago. I knew something wasn't right. Just from the way that I handled everything in life, from sitting in traffic to relationships to work. And it boiled down to it wasn't right. And I saw a specialist in central London who sat with me for several hours and wrote a report and basically put it down to what happened to me as a child, which was child abuse, physical and mental. There was nothing else. But it put me in a really bad place. And because of that, I struggled. I didn't know what was wrong. And I think finding out about something like that, you will only go and seek help if you admit you've got a problem. And what I mean by that is it's very similar to if you've got an addiction. You're not going to go and get help until you sit down and look at yourself and think, I've got an issue. I need to go and get help. I remember speaking to a good friend of mine who came and saw me when I came out of hospital. And he said, "And one day, mate, you're going to turn this into a positive." Now, this was less than 24 hours after coming out of hospital. And I looked at him, I was like, what on earth are you on about? But he'd been through similar. And that's exactly what I've done. I've been up and down the country the last few years, speaking to tradespeople, men and women on big sites, small sites, suppliers, merchants, probably seen about 4,500 face to face, and have used my example to help. And I think one big thing I've found which works in construction, no matter what level you're at, people need to resonate with you. And us trades, we're a funny bunch at times. And we found that when you said you're back on the tools on the Monday, on the extension you're building, whatever you're doing, oh, you're one of us. And I think that helps bring the barrier down. And my mate was right. I turned what was a horrendous time into a positive to help others. And I think that's probably part of my recovery, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that's why we really want to get you on the podcast, Andy, just because you've got that experience in construction. And like you say, you can just relate to the people who work on the sites. Looking more towards the drug and alcohol side of things, do you think there is a link between mental health and drug and alcohol use at the workplace?
I think it goes without saying, sadly, from my experience personally and with other lads, I hate to say it goes hand in hand. What I mean by that is, you know, I've worked in Sydney, I've worked in Jersey, I've worked, you know, all over the UK, and generally, traditionally, we're a male biased industry, which we obviously need to change. But big blokes, oh, I've had a rough time, I'm going to the pub tonight, oh, I'm going to have a joint. And unfortunately, it's an easy option. And I've said this 100 times before, it's so easy to go and drink or source drugs. And it's used as a temporary numbing of the pain, if you like. I did it. And I'm embarrassed to say I did, but I did. I turned to alcohol. The problem is that it's like anything. You become slightly, you don't get that relief or hit or whatever you want to call it. So I then went to cannabis and then went on to cocaine. And yes, on a Saturday night, I couldn't have been better, but we all know what that does to you come Monday, Tuesday. And that culminated in my mental health deteriorating. And I just think it's very sad that we see that as an industry. A lot of us see it as an easy option. Yeah. When preparing healthier food, going for a walk, going to the gym, taking the dog out, meditating, there's so many different avenues. And, you know, to give you one example, I had a decorator that worked with me for about 12 years. Won't mention his name, but he, from the word go, he came in stinking of cannabis, the green cannabis, not the old school resin. And I sort of said to the lads, well, I said, what's going on? He said, look, he's been on this all his life. He's on it all day, every day. First thing in the morning, he rolls a joint. And I was struggling at the time to get people. So, you know, wrongly or rightly, he stayed with me. He was a good decorator. And then things got out of hand. So he moved on. He went and worked with a mate of mine. And my mate sent me this picture a couple of years ago. He was using a chop saw, a mitre saw, whatever you want to call it. Now, I don't know what a decorator was doing using that, but he was cutting a bit of timber, obviously well under the influence of cannabis, and somehow managed to get the blade to run down his left forearm and sliced it to pieces. I think he had six operations and he's still not got full use of his hand because it went through tendons and nerves and all sorts. And would that have happened if he wasn't? Yeah, 100%. And but I look back, there's a reason he's in that mess. And I don't mean it in a nasty way. Who knows what happened when he was younger, but that is his go-to relief, which is obviously wrong, and he shouldn't have been at work. And obviously that accident was highly preventable. But there's a lot of people which do turn to it because it's easy. And it's, you know, that's, we've got to be more preventative and proactive, not wait until someone's at the end.
Yeah, definitely. I think more, like you say, can be done to take that preventative measure. Because you've got to look at why are they using in the first place? And we know it can cause accidents at the sharp end. I know we've also got a really worrying statistic on the number of construction workers that take their own life.
Yeah, it's more than any other industry. And according to ONS 2021, it's over 500. Now, in reality, us in the industry think it's probably at least double that. And the reason we say that is because if somebody's in construction, loses their job, is, let's say, I don't know, working in a shop or signing on, and they take their own life, they're not classed as a construction worker. So we do think it's a lot more than that, sadly. But we have to do something about it. What's currently being done isn't working. And that is reflective in the fact that these suicide numbers have gone up and up and up year on year for the last several years. So I think my view is we need to be more preventative, more proactive, more educational, because I can tell you when I got to the end, doesn't matter what you'd said or tried to do with me, I wasn't listening. There's reasons we turn to these things. It's addressing that and also educating them. And listen, mate, it's not just you. And I think the other thing is some prescribed medicines can be very, very strong. A guy that I spoke to up north, he was a digger driver, and he had been through a really rough time with his ex-partner, really badly abused. He showed me the photographs, which I'll never forget. Tried to take his own life on the Saturday, stomach pumped in hospital Sunday, back to work on Monday because he needed the money. He was short. He was driving a 40-ton digger, and he went through a load of electrical cables. And he said, if anyone had been near them, they would have been fried alive. And he said, I didn't know what I was doing because they've put me on these really strong antidepressants. He said, I can barely see. I'm just phased out by it. So I think it's a very difficult subject, as we know. But I think more and more people saying the right things, getting together, doing the right things. There's some wonderful charities out there that are starting to help. But I think we need a little bit of help from the top down, from government, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think as men, it's a very male-dominated industry. Do you think we are talking enough about mental health?
Without doubt, it's changing. 100%. I'm thinking when I started out, jeepers, it was the, oh, pull your socks together, mate. Oh, sort yourself out, grow a pair, get on with it. Come and have a pint. It was very different then. And listen, being honest, the older generation, I mean, I'm nearly 50, but I mean, the guys that are sort of 60s and above, or even late 50s, there's some that are still very much, oh, sort yourself out, son, you're all right. But I think with the younger generation coming in, the mental health awareness being higher, we are talking more. But the big problem, especially on big sites, is if you go in and try and speak to someone and say, I'm struggling with my mental health, you're seen as a weakness. They're under pressure to get the job done. You're out the door with no pay. And that is happening up and down the country. So although we are talking more, it needs more respect and understanding from management.
Yeah. And that comes from the top down, doesn't it? They've got these targets here at the top, and the people at the bottom, they're bearing the brunt of it.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm sure it's the same in any industry. You look after the staff, they'll look after you. You know, when I had a team, we sometimes had to do weekends, bank holidays, Easter, to push the job on if we'd had bad weather or deliveries were late. And if you've got that relationship going in, you actually enjoyed it. I remember working one Easter weekend only about 3 or 4 years ago on an extension we were doing. There was three of us laying and one labourer. He bumped all the bricks and blocks around, all the gauges were knocked up, and the sun came out, and we actually quite enjoyed it. The customer wasn't there. Yeah. We had the radio on, and I took them to the pub afterwards, had a pint, and do you know what? It was one of the best days we'd had, because yeah. I don't know we had that relationship and that sort of bond where it was didn't seem like a Easter Saturday. It was just another day at work. But, you know, people that are treated like dirt, they're not going to go and put the extra shift in to help you out. I think that's, you know, back to what we said at the beginning of this podcast, just being nice to people, that doesn't cost anything and it makes a big difference.
Yeah. And we were talking yesterday about asking twice if someone's okay.
Yeah, there was, I'm not sure which charity did the research, but it was basically, if you ask someone how they are twice, it's something like 80-odd%, you get a different response. And put yourself on any site, get there early, cup of tea, get yourself ready, walk in. Hello, mate, how are you doing? Good weekend at the bank. You have no idea what that person's turned around and said to you.
Yeah.
If you go back and say, are you okay, mate? You're right. It's, oh, someone's actually interested in how I am. And you do get different answers. I've done it for years now, and it's frightening from mates that I played rugby with that are in nothing to do with construction, speaking to them. You know, rugby's a similar environment. You've got quite big, you know, strong guys that maybe aren't that open about it. And you ask twice, you get different answers. And I think that's just one little thing people can hopefully take away from this, that, you know, try it. Try it. It doesn't cost anything. It doesn't take up any time and actually can really help people.
Yeah, I think it's such an easy step to take. And I think when it comes to managing your mental health, a lot of the positive stuff you can do can be fairly simple and can be fairly straightforward. How do you manage your mental health, Andy?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be ever going back down the route that I took. I just want to sort of touch on it. I did mention it earlier, but just some quite interesting, I suppose, thing I took from what happened. So without going into detail, obviously, I've been open. I turned to the booze and the drugs, and the incident when I tried to take my own life, I woke up in hospital and they asked me, did you take anything, any alcohol or prescription drugs or anything? I said, no. They said, that's good. We're doing full bloods so we can find out if there's anything in your system. And they came back and they said, oh, as you said, you hadn't had anything at all. And I said, can I ask you a question? Why on earth did I black out and, you know, being honest, not do a proper job? And they said, that's really interesting you said that. The more and more people we're hearing that try and end their own life without any drugs or alcohol in their system, their body shuts down to prevent you doing it. And yeah. I had a chat with a mental health guy, really lovely African guy, actually. And we were chatting about Easter holiday out there and we had quite a nice personable bond. And he was saying, we're hearing more and more people that are hearing that are saying this. And my view is if I'd been under drugs or alcohol, who knows what would have happened. So I found that interesting. And now I do simple things that don't cost anything. So one thing I did with the kids, when I was allowed to see them after a long court battle, I got them a puppy who for some reason is very quiet. I'm sure she's not bouncing around, which she usually does. She forces me, so I got a working dog, the best thing in the world, the most loving animal, but she's absolutely mad and she needs massive walks. And I've always given her long walks. She's never been walked on a lead and it encourages me to get out. And I think I've said to a few people before, I've kind of got a happy place in these woods near me. It's so quiet. It's full of wildlife. There's no one around. She disappears, has fun, and you just walk. And yes, it sounds a bit fluffy from a 6'3" ex-rugby player, but try it. Switch off. The great thing is there's no reception for phones either. That works for me. Eating healthy makes a big difference. I came back from just a cheap holiday in Spain recently, and I'll be honest, gorged a bit, let's say. Enjoying the fine food and wine, came back and been back a week and switched to very healthy. I feel a different person. So how you look after yourself, it could be going to the gym, it could be meditating. There's holistic therapy such as emotional freedom technique or tapping, which I've done. It works for me. I think the big thing is what I'm saying here for people to take away and try may not work for you. We're all very, very different. And I think the key thing for me is try different things. A lot of this stuff doesn't cost extra money. I understand going to the gym does, but you can get meditation lessons online that are free. You can practice yoga. You can eat healthier, which isn't as expensive as you think. And going out for a walk in nature certainly doesn't cost anything. So that's how I manage it. And as I say, it works for me. But there's a lot of other avenues which people perhaps haven't looked at, but you should try it.
Yeah, it's about finding what works for you.
I
guess just finally linking it back to the workplace, how can site managers and just managers in general support the mental health of their workers more?
This is a tough question. I think the answer, in my opinion, is having someone or somewhere where anybody on that job, it doesn't matter what level you are, what you're doing, feels comfortable to go to. Now, from our experience of speaking to these tradespeople up and down the country, an HR manager in a lovely office in a suit they didn't feel comfortable with. Having a mental health first aid person that's done a 2-day course didn't feel comfortable with. I think we need to, and I don't know what the answer is, but I think we just need to have somewhere where people can feel comfortable going to talk when they need to. Because that's the other thing. From my experience, when I was bad, I wasn't ready to talk. But the first time I did, it was actually to a mate. It was just came out. And I think was I on the phone to him for three and three quarter hours? He didn't say a word. I didn't want him to say a word.
Yeah.
I didn't want him saying, go to the doctor, eat better, or go and start counseling, go and get these medications. I didn't want to hear any of that. I just wanted to get it out. And once that person is ready, as I mentioned earlier, admitting to you've got a problem, once you start talking, it's just like someone's taking a big steel or a big lump of timber off your shoulders. And that is the hardest step. So finding an area or people or person that someone can feel comfortable going to and opening up is key. But the second part is they'll get the support, not booted off the job. And that, again, doesn't need a lot of money. It doesn't need a lot of time and resource, but you know, I won't go into details, but we know what happens on these sites up and down the country. And until that's changed, these numbers will keep going up.
Yeah, I think it's a great takeaway, Andy. Closing thoughts?
Do you know what? I think the big thing I've learned, no matter what you're doing, if you're walking into a shop, if you're driving your car, if you're at work, just be nice. Now, that sounds a bit of an odd statement to make, but if you open a door for someone that's struggling with their shopping, you have no idea what their day's been, how what they've gone through. You have no idea. You may have really helped them. You know, if you let someone out at a junction who's stressed and late for a doctor's appointment, you've no idea, it might just help them. You know, smiling at people. And you know, the best thing is about this, A, it costs nothing, but B, the most important thing, you feel damn good for doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got so many friends, especially with COVID and cost of living and all the rest of it, situation in Ukraine, all the difficulties going on there, people are stressed. That mental health will destroy you physically. That is proven with research. And, you know, I've got friends that have unfortunately been through that. And just relaxing a bit more, being nice to people rather than being stressed all the time or angry or aggressive, it really makes a big difference. And I think if anyone can take something away, it's just be nice to people, look out for people, not necessarily going in trying to save the world because we can't all help everybody. But if someone's at work isn't themselves, because let's be fair, we all react to mental health in different ways. There isn't a book to say, look out for this or that. Just have a chat, just see how people are. And once that barrier comes down where people are a little bit more open to talking or feel safer, or have the right place or person to go to without losing their job, I tell you what, these numbers will come crashing down.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a great place to end it, Andy. Where can people go if they want to hear more from you?
So I'm on social media at Andy Stevens TV, Instagram, all the other channels, obviously LinkedIn as well, Andy Stevens. And we're actually in the process of... I haven't said this to anybody. I don't know if I really can yet. It's all NDA, but we are launching something very soon, which is going to be very construction based. There's going to be a lot to do with mental health, which is incredibly exciting. And on my social media in the next couple of weeks, I'll be announcing all these details. But yeah, at Andy Stevens TV on socials. Anybody wants to chat, I'm here.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, David. Have a good day.
Cheers. Bye.